tonight, but I tell you what, them songs go right along with it. I mean, perfect. And, you know, God's just good like that. And I thank him for it. You know, if you would, please turn to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. We're going to start in verse 20, and I'm going to read the first few verses here. And we'll get through it. It's, yeah, them emergency vehicles, when they pass, sometimes it can be worrisome. But, whatever it's for, God be with them. Matthew 9, is he going to wake up? Yeah, we're going to wake up, we're going to have you stand up, but we're not going to sleep in church, not today. All right? Yep. Matthew 9, we're going to go to verse 20, and we're going to read down through verse 22, and it says, "And a woman, behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, and no matter what she did or what she took, it never went away. This issue plagued her for all these years. She went to doctors and spent money, and nobody could heal her. And Jesus passed by one day. And you know what she done? She reached for the hem of his garment. And she did that with such faith that she knew that if she touched just the very hem of his garment, that he could make her whole. And so we're going to look at this in a few other verses, and it says that no matter what was going, what it was going to take, or what people thought of her, she reached for the hem of Jesus' garment for healing and cleaning, and she got it. Now, if you would, just listen to me here. Normally, I would have you turn to this next. I'm going to go to Leviticus, and I want you to see that under the Old Testament, in Leviticus 15, verse 19, it said, "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she should be put apart 7 days, and whatsoever toucheth her shall be unclean until even." So what that's saying there is that this woman, having the issue of blood for 12 years, under the old Levitical law, she would have been unclean for a man to touch. She would have had to have been put out for 7 days. And here she is, and she's going to walk up, and she's going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. This, my friend, is a picture of a lost person. A lost person who has issues in their life. For all the years and the doctors and money and the things of this world cannot and will not ever help the issues that we have in our life. It's going to take us reaching for the hem of Jesus' garment for any kind of healing and cleansing. Now, Jesus, when he turned around, he didn't say, look at her and go, because of the law, you just made me unclean. He didn't do that to her. Why? Because in the Bible it says that he's the propitiation. That means he is the place that we are to bring our sins to. She brought that to him. She brought her issues to him. And guess what? He turned around and said, because your faith, you've been made whole. He took that upon himself. He took the Levitical law. He took the very dirtiness and the uncleanness of that woman upon himself, and he made her clean. He took what she had, the problem that she had. He took it upon himself, and in return made her whole for that. All she did was reach for the hem of his garment. She had enough faith just to reach for the hem of Jesus Christ's garment. And it says, I say here, and she knew she was unclean through the law. She knew the only way to be clean and whole would be through Jesus Christ. And she sought him until she found him and was made whole. Jesus knew she was unclean through the law. He knew she had to see it and come to him. And when she did, she was made whole. Today, the hem of Jesus' garment is the word of God. And people need to reach out for Jesus Christ through his word and for healing and cleansing of their issues. People say, well, Jesus Christ's hem isn't here anymore. It is in a King James Bible sitting on your lap. And you need to reach out for that and get that touch, get that healing. If you read the Bible, it says that faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
That's right, hearing by the word of God. That's where your faith comes from. That's the hem of Jesus Christ's garment. That's what we need to be reaching out for. Psalm 119, verse 9, it says this. It says, "Whitherall shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, this lady was dirty. She had an issue of blood 12 years. She should have been put out. Under the Levitical law, she was unclean. But withal shall a young man cleanse his way? It says, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Psalm 119:9. Well, what's thy word? Today, we're lucky to have the King James Bible. But you know that in John 1:1, it says, John 1:14 says that Jesus Christ is the word. She reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, who is the word, and she got cleaned. She got clean. Whitherall shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there unto according to thy word. That we are to listen to the Bible. We are to do what it says. We are to obey what it says. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to wash us. It's going to make us clean. Hey, Jesus Christ is going to take those issues. Whatever issue you have in your life tonight, I'm just going to tell you right now, that issue is not bigger than Jesus. But as a human being, we make those issues a whole lot bigger than Jesus, and they're not. They're not. There's plenty of things that I could just sit back and say, you know what? I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that because of this, 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 and this, and this. But I just know this one thing, that Jesus Christ is bigger than my issues. Amen. Jesus Christ, for 40 years, for 40 years of torment, for 40 years of being an addict and a violent, abusive person, 40 years of the disease of alcoholism and being a drug addict and a criminal and a convict and somebody full of hate and bitterness. For 40 years, Jesus Christ went and I reached for the hem of his garment and he took the uncleanness upon himself. Guess what happened to me? By my faith, I was made whole. I've been made whole. As when they get off the boat, Jesus and they get off the boat, and the man of the Gardenes, who's possessed with a legion of devils, after Jesus Christ healed him, guess what it says? That he was dressed, he was made and dressed in his right mind. So what happened to him? I stand here today, dressed, clothed, and in my right mind because of what Jesus Christ done for me. And you know what happened? You know what? If you read the end of that story, it says that the people saw that and they were afraid. They were afraid. You tell me people aren't afraid what's going on with me in your life. They're afraid of that, guys. They're afraid of what Jesus Christ is doing with people around them. They don't understand it. And they're afraid of that. They're running from it instead of running to it. I tell you what, if you have an issue, Jesus wants you to run to him. He doesn't want you to run from him. He wants you to run. There's not an issue too big for him to handle. He says, reach for the hem of the garment. And he can make you clean. He can make you whole. He can restore everything you think you lost. He can restore it all again. My wife lost natural affection for a man and kids just because of the filthiness she lived in. And you know what? Jesus Christ has restored that unto her. Mm-hmm. You ask her. She loved our children always. I don't ever doubt that. But she did not like our children. She lost natural affection for her children because of her uncleanness and her past. She brought that to Jesus Christ. You ask her if she likes our kids now. Mm-hmm. Ask her if she loves them. Amen. You see? Jesus Christ can heal that issue. There's not an issue too big for Jesus Christ to handle. And that's what he's saying. Reach, just reach. Reach for the hem of this garment. And I'll make, withal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. You know what Jesus says? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, also in another place in the book of John says, if you love me, you'll keep my word. Why? Because he knows there's power in that. He knows that there's power in that. And you know what? That's what Jesus Christ wants. Luke 6:10. Let's go to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke 6:10. Oh yeah, God, he's good tonight. Just tell you. Luke 6:10. It says, looking around about upon all them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he did so. And his hand was restored a whole as the other. The man with the withered hand stretched forth his hand toward Jesus and believed what Jesus' word said and got healing. You understand what this man just did? His hand's been withered for all those years. Jesus didn't touch his hand. You know what he told him? Stretch forth your hand. His word. His word brought forth that man's healing. His word, what he spoke out of his mouth, was that man was able to do what Jesus Christ told him to by obeying his word and believing what his word said. He said, stretch forth thy hand. He did it. Bam. His hand. Now, Jesus Christ didn't touch his hand. But his spoken word made that man whole. His spoken word made that man whole. That's a miracle. You know what Jesus is telling you to do? Stretch forth your hand. Reach for the hem of his garment. He wants to make you whole. If anybody in this room ever thinks that Jesus Christ, that's not what he wants, then you don't know. You got the wrong God. You got the wrong Jesus Christ. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Anybody that don't know John 3:16, you should all know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He went on that cross for every single person that ever did live and ever will live. There's not an exception. Not an exception. It says that he got the healing. Jesus spoke it and it happened. The man didn't turn to the religious crowd standing there. Read what it says in Luke 6:10. It says, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. He didn't sit there and say, hey, scribes and Pharisees, can you please help me? Can your works heal me? No, he turned to the one and only thing that could help him, and that was Jesus Christ. He didn't turn to the religious crowd that was standing there watching Jesus Christ. The scribes and Pharisees were standing there. It says that in verse 7. So he's got the religious crowd around him, and then he's got Jesus Christ there. Now, you know he could have been stoned for doing that very thing. You know, they didn't want anybody to believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. That man knew in his heart, wait, this religious crowd, they don't have nothing for me. But Jesus Christ does. And he went and turned to Jesus Christ. That's who he turned to. And it says that, but he turned to Jesus and believed him for the man. The others, the religious works of the crowd were standing there. And when they seen the man's faith and Jesus heal his hand and the religious crowd, they were filled with madness and communed with one another that they, what they might do to Jesus Christ. Verse 11. When that man stretched forth his hand and they saw it, you know what they did? They got angry. They got angry. They wanted it. Verse 11 says they communed on what they would do to Jesus Christ. Do you know what's going on today when somebody gets their life healed? People are getting angry. They want to know how they can destroy you and Jesus Christ. They wanted to see how they can destroy your testimony. They want to drag you down the dirt right along with them. They get angry at it. They're angry at it. But you need to understand, there's already two instances right there from Jesus' word that people are healed. Right there, instantly. Instantly. His spoken word. They don't take it serious. The man was not worried, but they thought he knew where he could be made whole, and he turned to Jesus, the only one that could do it, not the works of religion. Most people, a lot of people, one of my biggest issues of why I never got saved is I was too worried about what people were going to think of me. I was just so worried. And you know, and I forgot the passage, Pastor always talks about it, where people, if you're worried about what other people think of you, the Bible says that you'll just never get saved because you're too busy worrying about what men think of you or what they're going to think of you. Who cares? That's right. Let me just ask you this. All those people that you're worried about and what they're going to think of you, are they paying your bills? Are they buying your food? Are they handing you gas money? Are they the ones going to be willing to die for you? Are they going to be the ones willing to put their arm around you when you need it? Absolutely no. Absolutely no. I tell Amy all the time or whoever, I said, I could give a rip less what people think of me. I don't live my life for them. When they start coming here paying my bills and clothing my children and so on and so forth, then I'll worry about what they think. But you know what? They're never gonna. Never gonna. Not for one second are these people gonna ever care enough about us to do what Jesus Christ has done. Not one of them. And that includes my own family. That includes my own family. Not my church family. Not my church. My church family helped take care of us. That's how you guys are. So what makes us a family? Amen. Yeah, amen. John 9:6. Oh, the healing. Jesus wants to heal. He's got something for every person. John 9:6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Jesus, for the blind man, took spittle and clay, the very ground that was cursed because of the fall of man, and mixed it with his spit and to open that man's eyes. That very thing, you know, the ground's been cursed since the fall of man. Jesus Christ took that spit and he took that very cursed thing and he opened that man's eyes. He opened that man's eyes with the clay from the ground that he cursed. You know what that shows you? I'm going to read it. Turn with me to Genesis 3:17. Genesis 3:17. I'm going to explain what I mean by this. Genesis 3:17. The Lord speaking, and he said, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree, which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed be the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. This is the picture of the thing that was a curse, both the ground and the man being healed by the one who created it and cursed it. This man, Jesus Christ, took spit from the very ground that he cursed. And man was cursed since the fall. Since the fall of man, now man has a sin nature. He took both of those things. And he was showing those who were standing there in the circle and watching what he was going to do. He's showing them, I have the power to lift the curse. He took the very clay that was on the ground that was the curse. And he took man, the person standing there with the blind eyes. And he said, in the beginning, I cursed the ground. And man was cursed because of their fall. He goes, I'm lifting that curse. He was showing them that he can lift that curse. That he was God and he could lift that curse. That's what he did. That's what he did. And you know what? They saw it. They recognized it. Let me keep going here. And it says, this is the picture of the thing that was cursed, both ground and man being healed by the one who created it and cursed it. Jesus is the only one who can forgive and heal that which has been cursed by the fall of man. Both man and ground were cursed. And the only one who could fix it, the only one who could fix that curse is Jesus. And he showed all the people that by the healing of this man's eyes, the one who cast the curse became the curse so that we did not have to. He became that curse. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. You see that? Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary. The very thing that he cursed, he was now going to rescue. And he became a curse for us. Because if he didn't go on that cross, We would have had to answer for our own. We would have had to try to stand before a holy God and give an account for why we do the things we do. But you know what? The Creator made a way to lift the curse from the creation. That's what he did. That's what he did for us. So that we no longer had to be answer for ourselves. It says that we have an advocate now. So when I go and stand in front of a holy God and he says, Dale, why'd you do the things you do? Jesus Christ said, hey, I bought him, Father. Don't worry. I got the answer. I got this. I took that for him. Go on. Go on into eternity. Enjoy eternity. Go to the buffet table where you can't gain weight. Eat all you want. That's what I'm looking forward to. You know, I'll get there on the golden streets. Gates of Pearl. Pass through the gates of Pearl. Go eat. Imagine what the food must be like up there. Whew. You know? I'll be 33 and a half years old for eternity. I can handle that. Anyway, so we see that he cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. And for the first time, when the man's eyes were open, he seen Jesus for who he really was. John 9. I'm going to go back to John. John 9. You know, this man had his eyes open. And you know what? When his eyes were open, he finally seen Jesus Christ for who he really was. You know what he seen him as? Seen him as the Savior. He was blind his whole life. He was told, absolutely 100% blind. Jesus opened his eyes, and he's seen Jesus Christ, and he knew him as the Savior right then and there. He's seen it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So John 9, verse 32 through 39. Since the world began, it's not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. You understand? This is the same guy who just got his eyes open. He is speaking this right now. He says that if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and doest thou teach us? That's the religious crowd for you. And cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, doest thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which that see may be made blind. Jesus Christ came for those who can't see who he really is, to open their eyes. And for that religious crowd who thinks they really see, he says he's going to make them blind. They're not going to be able to see. Because they're so puffed up in their pride and their works, they're not going to be able to see who Jesus Christ is. They're not going to be able to look at him and see who he really is and what he really wants to do. And if you look at the religious crowd today, that's exactly where they're at. They are so blind to who Jesus is and what he wants to do. They have absolutely missed the whole mark. They have absolutely, they have no clue. No clue. No clue. They think by their works and their little bit of whatever they're doing, that's Jesus Christ and he's behind it. And I'm telling you now, he is so far from that, it's disgusting. Okay, you understand? This guy, as soon as his eyes were open, what did he go out and say? He said, since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Instantly. Now, he didn't say that before his eyes got open, did he? But as soon as his eyes got open, he looked and saw the face of Jesus Christ. He said, this man's of God. He knew instantly. And I'm telling you now, that lost sinner that's sitting in here tonight, that one that's filling this pew, when Jesus Christ opens your eyes, and when he opens it and you see it for what it really is, I'm just telling you now, you'll know that Jesus Christ is God. You'll know who he really is. You know what? He's just saying, come on, touch the hem of my garment. Come on, stretch forth thine hand. Here, I'll make your eyes. I can open your eyes for you. You don't have to be where you're at tonight. You don't ever have to walk out of this building and not have the Savior in your heart. You don't have to leave here and not be saved. He can show you in this very room. He can show you today. That's up to you. Are your eyes opened? Luke chapter 23. We'll read a few verses here. Luke 23, I'm going to start in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they were crucified. They crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. And a malefactor is a thief. Somebody who's done wrong. They're going to be crucified next to Jesus Christ. And so they're hung on one side of him, and the other one's hung on the other side of him. Scoot on down to, I want to go down to verse 39. And the one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, doest thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in the kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the face of the earth. So the thief on the cross, who was condemned to die, he knew what he had done. He seen that he deserved to die. This is where lost people need to come. They need to realize, they need to see that they're the ones who deserve the punishment. You have to know that you're a lost person going to hell, that you have a separation between you and God because of you, not because of anybody else, not because of the things that were done to you, not because of any other single reason except for you and your sin nature and your sins. You know what that thief did? He seen that. And as soon as he seen that, didn't he cry out to Jesus? And Jesus said, "You'll be with me in paradise." That's a simple salvation right there. That's how simple salvation is. But you know what that thief saw? He saw who he really was in front of Jesus Christ. He really recognized, oh my goodness, that is me. I do deserve to be on this cross. He doesn't deserve to be on the cross, but I do. I deserve this punishment. I'm the one who deserves this punishment. And he looked at Jesus and said, "Please, don't forget me. Don't worry," he said, "you'll be with me in paradise." You see, that's where a sinner has to, that's the point a sinner has to come to in their life, is they have to come and realize that if they were to stand right now, if they're a lost sinner and they're standing before Jesus Christ, if they're standing before the judgment throne, that they're going to have to answer for what they've done. And if they don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, if they haven't seen what is going on with them, if they haven't seen how Jesus Christ really sees them, they're in serious trouble. You won't be with Jesus in paradise. I'll tell you where your home is. And I'll tell you this, another thing. Jesus preached on hell more than anybody in the New Testament did. Jesus did. Jesus preached on hell more than anybody in the New Testament did. That thief saw. That thief realized, I'm the one who deserves to be on this cross, not this man. He cried out to Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus Christ said? He forgave him. He was in paradise. In a few hours, that man was going to be in paradise with Jesus Christ. Oh, good. God is good. Luke 23:40 says, "But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Doest thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed be justly, for we received our due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." He knew Jesus didn't deserve to die. He knew that, but that Jesus was dying to save the world from its sin. He said in Luke 23:42, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." He seen himself through the law of God, knew why Jesus was doing what he was doing, and was saved hanging on next to the one that was dying for the sin of this world. John 1:29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world." Notice the sin of the world, S-I-N, singular. Jesus died for the sin nature of every human being that was ever born or ever will be born. Now what's got to take place? What has to take place is they need to bring their sins to him. He's the propitiation, S-I-N-S. That's plural. That means you have more than one. How do you get forgiveness? By bringing your sins to Jesus Christ. He is the place that our sins are to go to. We don't bring them to another man or some priest or some guy sitting in a box and saying all these Hail Marys and, you know, Ali Krishna, Buddha. You don't have to pray on some rug and, you know, wash our ears and do 10 headstands and do a backflip before God hears us and all that. No, we're going to go to Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the simplicity. It says the simplicity in Christ. But we've made it hard. Why? Because we don't want to see who we really are. I mean, if Jesus Christ, for the unsaved people, if Jesus Christ really ever started showing you who you really are, you're really not going to like it.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that. But he has to bring you to that place. Why? That thief didn't want to admit who he was, but he did. He's seen it. And that's, you know what happened? That's when the healing started. That's when he started getting right. That's when he understood, man, you know, I deserve this, but he doesn't. He understood the difference in that. And that Jesus Christ had compassion on him. He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." How awesome is that? John 1:29, John seeth Jesus coming and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It says that Jesus died to take away the sin of the world. Every person who lived is living and will live. After the cross and resurrection, people need to bring their sins, plural, that's S-I-N-S, to Jesus for forgiveness. 1 John 2:2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." That means the whole world, everybody. It doesn't matter if it's America. It doesn't matter if it's across the seas. It's the sins of the whole world. He died for all. But now it's getting people to see that he died for all. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It was a problem for me for 40 years. I didn't see that Jesus Christ died for me. I didn't see a need for a Savior. I didn't see a need to, well, why would he have to go on a cross for me? I didn't see that. I never even understood that. That's why I understand sometimes when these people try to lead people into these prayers, how are they understanding? They have no clue what Jesus Christ is trying to show them. You ask, yeah, I've done bad things. Who can't admit they've done bad? Everybody will admit that. But they have no reason, they have no understanding of why they do the bad. They don't even know why it has to be fixed. He didn't say he came for the righteous, he said he came for the sick. The sinners. A church is not a place for righteous people. It's for the sin sick. It's for the sin sick. It's for them to come here and get healing. It's there to come here and get help. It's for them to come in here and get something they've never had in their entire life. Of course, we all belong in church. We all belong underneath the preaching. I tell you, I mean, it's good to hear preaching. It's good to be underneath it. It's good to come in and be with your brothers and sisters. But I'm just going to tell you, you'll never learn it on your own. Ever. You can't. It's impossible. How do I know it's impossible? Look at your life. Look at your life and tell me you know what you're doing. I can stand up here as a man and tell you that I have no clue what I'm doing without Jesus Christ. I make every mistake possible. Believe me, you. I know that. I can live saying that. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't hurt my feelings that I say that about myself because I know it. And I mean, I know it. It's getting people to see that about themselves. Getting them to agree with anything in the Bible. Anything. One thing. The Bible has been so far kicked out of the lives of the people in America that you can sit there and preach the Bible until you're blue in the face and it has none effect because they don't believe it. It says, the Bible says that all call upon his name shall be saved. But you read in the very next verse, it says, how can they call on the one they don't believe? They don't believe it. They don't believe it. You could have walked up to me about 8 or 9 years ago and said, do you believe Jesus Christ died for you? And I would have told you, no, he didn't die for me. Well, the Bible tells you he did. Okay, what's that? I don't believe your Bible. You walk up to a Christian that just walks out into one of these phony baloney churches and you start telling them about their Bible, they'll tell you, I don't believe your Bible. And they claim to have the same Jesus as me, and I'm telling you, they're wrong. They don't have the same Jesus Christ I have. Okay? Getting them to see that. Mark 15. Mark 15. Matthew, Mark. Luke, awake? Guess you're going to have to go home and crawl in bed, huh, bud? Mark 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. Then I'm going to skip around a few verses. I'll have enough time to finish it. Mark 15, 1. It says that straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation and the elders and the scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him unto Pilate. Verse 15, and it says, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him, crucified. And the soldiers led him away in the hall called, I can't say the word, and they... Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with the purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with the reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees in worship. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. Go down to verse 22, and it said, bring him into the place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him a drink, wine mingled with mirth, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments and casting lots upon him with what every man should take. Verse 34. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up his ghost. all that he cursed, all that being fallen, all the laws given, he literally took upon himself at that moment when he was crucified. It wouldn't have been a problem for him to come off of that cross, except for there was one problem, and that was the love of each and every person sitting in this room. The love Jesus Christ had for every single person in this room kept him on that cross. He said, I could have called down 12 legions of angels. At any given time, he could have called down any kind of, as many angels as it would have took to come, move those people, get those things out of his hand and feet, and he could have walked off that cross. But you know what he saw? He saw in the future that there's going to be one sitting in a pew one day and is going to realize that Jesus Christ died for me. And they're going to understand that. And they're going to finally see. And they're going to agree with Jesus Christ. They're going to agree with God for what they really are. They're going to get forgiveness of their sins for eternity. The very ground that he cursed, the very people that got cursed because of the fall, put him on a tree, and he became accursed for them, so that they did not have to. Let me finish on here, and it says, he literally took the sins upon himself. I'm going to go to Isaiah. I'm going to read Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12 says, woe, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. We're talking about Jesus Christ here. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I can tell you right now, people don't desire to see Jesus Christ. And you know what? He says that he made himself that way. Why? Because he didn't want them to come to him for looks. He wants you to come to him for love, for what he can offer you. Okay? It says, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as hid as it were our faces from him, as he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and have turned every one his own way. And the Lord hath laid him on the iniquity of us all. And I just told you that right there. All the cursed, all the fallen, all the laws he literally took upon himself. Every sin that I ever committed, or every sin that any person that ever lived ever committed, Jesus Christ took those upon himself. The woman with the garment who reached out. What happened with that sin? He took it upon himself. He wore that. He took that sin. It was his. You know what he did with it? He brought it to that cross. Then he brought it into the hell, and he sacrificed. It was done. It was burnt off. It was gone forever. And that's what he did when he became the Lamb of God. He became that perfect sacrifice. I think it was here that I told earlier, you go look it up. Now every meat sacrifice had to be salted with salt. Jesus Christ became that. He became that. He took every one of your sins that you commit now, or did commit, or may commit, and he took those already, and he became that perfect sacrifice in the lake of fire. And you know what? He gave it to him. He said, boom, it's done. It's over. He arose from the grave 3 days later for our victory, for our justification, for us! For us! God doesn't make us go out and do that for him. He done that for us. Our God. Why? Because God is love. That love for us. That's what brought him on that cross. That love for us is what put him down in hell. That love for us is why he went through what he went through. Could you imagine getting your beard plucked out of your face? How about the hair ripped out of your head? How about somebody kicking a crown of thorns on you and spitting big old green boogers in your face? That's what God Almighty went through for each and every person sitting in this room. And then to make it all bad, they hung him on a cross. They put him on a tree. The very thing that was cursed, they put him on it. They nailed him to it with the crown of thorns. And I already showed you in Genesis that thorns are part of the curse. And they put him back on him. At that time, he could have came off that cross and said, how dare you guys do this to me? Oh, no. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? for Dale Morey, for Amy Morey, for Chris Farwell, for everybody sitting in this room. That is why. Because God had to turn his back on him. God had to turn his face away because he couldn't look upon the sins. Jesus knew that, and that's why he had to bring them to hell to get them to take burned off. Sacrificed them. Gone. And then he was raised. And then you know what? They saw him walking down the road, and Mary went to go touch him. He said, "Don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended to the Father." He was clean at that time. He told, "Don't touch me right now. I haven't been to the Father yet." That's something. Why? Because he was clean. It wasn't just a few days before that, that lady reached and touched the hem of his garment and he was dirty. Because he bore our iniquities. He took them. Took them upon himself, it says. Let me finish reading this. And it says that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? And it says, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had not done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Huh? It pleased the Lord that he became the sacrifice for us. It pleased him. It didn't say it displeased. It didn't say it made God unhappy. It said it pleased him. It pleased him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You see what that says? S-I-N, sin. That's talking about the sin nature. He became an offering for the sin nature. Then he becomes the propitiation, the place that you bring your sins. Because he took care of the sin nature, now you have a place to bring your sins. S-I-N-S. This is what's going on here. This is what Jesus Christ has done. And then it says, he was cut off. He made the grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had not done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he had put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That is what Jesus Christ done for the lost person. That is what he done for mankind. That's who he became. They beat him to hamburg meat. They spit on him, made fun of him, put purple on him and made fun of him. Oh, hail, hail. And they mocked him and everything else. Then nailed him to a cross. And he could have got off there. What did the one thief say? If you're God, if you're Christ, save yourself and save us. He could have got off that cross right there at that moment. And said, how's it like now, big guy? What do you think now? But he chose to stay for every single person sitting in this room tonight. There's not one person he would turn away if they come to him. Not one. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Then it says here, in himself he bore our sins, and the creation spit and beat and kicked and cursed and kicked the thorns on the Creator's head. Do you realize that? They did all that to the Creator. They beat him, spit on him, made fun of him. The creation did all that to the Creator. That's the thanks we give him. That's the thanks humankind gives him today. Look at America and tell me, are they thankful for what Jesus Christ has done? I'd say they're spitting on him. I'd say they're mocking him. I'd say they don't give a rip about him. And you know what? He's still there with open arms waiting for that very one. He's still waiting for that very one. And it says that They cursed and kicked the thorns on the Creator's head. They nailed him on the very wood that he made and took it upon himself so that we would not have to go into judgment. That the very hell he made for the devils and his angels. Matthew 25:41 said that hell was made for the devil and his angels. It was never intended for mankind to go there. But guess what? Now they're going to go there. That's their punishment. That's where they're going to go for eternity. He went down there. He went to be the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, perfect as the high priest, to present the blood, not to cover, but to wash away the sin of all man and rise again for our justification. Why? Because God is love, and no love would ever or could ever endure this and to secure one soul for eternity. Love put him on that cross. Love nailed him on that cross. Love descended him into hell. Love raised him victorious out of the grave because of the love for us. That's what love did to Jesus Christ. That's what love did for the Creator to help fix the creation. Understand that. When you think you really love something or you really love somebody, go ahead and look what Jesus Christ done. That'll tell you what love is. Yeah. Go look at what he done while he walked on this earth. You know, those Pharisees used to sit there and they always look for an opportunity. They want to destroy Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, look at Nicodemus. He was in the Sanhedrin, a leader of the Jewish people, a Pharisee. You know what Jesus told him? You must be born again. I believe Nicodemus got saved. I believe Nicodemus got saved. Let's look at Paul, who aka Saul. He was Saul. He watched Stephen being stoned and everything else. Guess what? Jesus Christ brought him to his knees. He got saved. He wrote most of the New Testament. A Jew. And you know what? Because of their unbelief, we were able to be grafted in. The natural branch was broken off. Then they rejected him. He said he came. It says that he came for his own, and his own rejected him. And because of that unbelief, the Gentiles were actually called, aka the dogs. Gentiles are called dogs compared to God's chosen people, who are the Jewish people. You can go look it up. And but you know what? Because of their unbelief, we were grafted in. Now we have a way. I don't know about you, but I get excited. I'm excited that God would do something like that for me. I don't know if you've ever felt worthless, but when I look and try to compare myself to the things of God and the things that he done, I feel pretty worthless. I understand where I stand now in the eyes of God. But I don't stand that way now. You know why? Because he says that I'm his son. He calls me his son now. I'm the son of the Most High. Jesus Christ, my Father, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's my Savior. He's mine. I mean, he's my God. He's my Father. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who bought me. I'm precious in his sight. I may not look much to you, and that's fine. I'm all right with that. But in the sight of my Father, imagine that. My goodness. And all the stuff for all those years that I drug his name through everything. I'm almost blaspheming his name. Using GD and JC, every other word out of my mouth. I mean, I had a song where I used to sing from my old death metal days. And I said, Mother of Mary. Mother Mary of Jesus Christ on the table, minced and diced. Those are my lyrics that I wrote for about Jesus' mother getting chopped up on the sacrifice. That's the kind of stuff I used to write about that. The very one that I used to write that about is the one who went on that cross and took me from that. That gets me pretty excited, man. I mean, just satanic, nasty old sinner. When he went on that cross all those years ago, he looked and said, you know what? I'm going to do that for him. You know why? Because it's love that we'll never understand unless you understand the love of God. And people want to reject that love. People say, well, I've never been loved. I had a rough life, and it's hard for this and hard for that. Well, let me just tell you this. Turn yourself over to Jesus Christ and see what he can do for you. Watch what he can do with you in a year. Watch what he can do for you in 6 months. Watch what he can do for you in the very first time you get saved. The very first minute you get saved. Watch the difference in your life. Please understand this, and I'm closing with this. If you think there is no hope, as long as you have breath coming out of your nostrils, you have hope. I promise you that with all my heart. You have hope. Luke, can you close this in prayer, please, buddy?